Good evening. You know, when I was commissioned last year to come up with four episodes of comedy for Radio 4, I thought to myself, well, here's a chance to make the nation laugh using just my one voice and a microphone. What a wonderful challenge. But then I thought, nah, fat chance. I'm going to have to get some people in to help. So, introducing some acting friends. Amelia. Hi, Meals.
Hi, Kev.
Justin.
Hello, Kevin.
Julia.
Hi.
David.
Hello.
Paul.
Hello, Kev.
Rosie.
Hi.
Some old ham I've never met before.
Greetings.
A couple of writers to help me out, Jason and Joel.
Hello, Kev.
Hello, Kev.
Yeah, they never stop. A gifted sound engineer. Hey, Jerry.
Evening, Kevin.
He's so good. A really good editor. Everything okay, Mike?
Oh, not too.
Of course, that's
you pick up
the
deal, but yeah, take the blue script.
Back home in the dark.
An award-winning sound effects technician. Oi, oi, Tanya. A vocal coach. What's up, Sally?
What is up, Sally?
What's up, Sally?
What is up, Sally?
What is up, Sally?
Better. Good evening, Kevin.
A script editor. How's it going, Tim?
Yeah, hi. Listen, I thought I cut the lines with the script editor.
A musical supervisor. Hey, Martin.
Hello, Kevin.
A publicist. All right, Daisy? A qualified acupuncturist. Ow!
Keep still, Kevin.
Sorry. A cocktail waiter. Ciao, Raul.
Miserable.
A caterer. What are these, Brian?
Champagne mushroom vol-au-vents.
Delish. My psychiatrist, Dr. Reuben.
Hello!
A shoeshine boy. All right, Nipper?
Yes, thanks. God bless you, Doctor.
My voice double. How are you tonight, Graham? I'm very well indeed, thank you, Kevin. Glad to hear it. And you? I'm swell. My mum?
You need a haircut.
A sinister stranger.
Hello.
And a highly competent producer. Hi, David.
Yeah, I'm busy.
And all of these people are doing their level best to make a really great show just for you.
I'm not.
So now let's kick things off and join 70s glam rock star David Bowie, circa 1973, live in South London, and he's going to tell us all about one of his more unusual passions. Hello, David Bowie, circa 1973. Are you there?
Hello, Kevin. David Bowie, circa 1973, yeah? I'm standing outside Stockwell Bus Garage. This used to be the largest unsupported roof structure in Europe. But it's not the building I'm interested in, because I'm here for the sheer thrill of a bare-knuckle fight with a bus. Now, I've got my trusty crowbar with me, and I'll just force this lock and... we're in! OK, on with the flashlight. Got to be careful. Security guy's got wise to me lately. Now, let's see. Oh, yes, we're in luck straight away. I've just spotted a Volvo B70L with a Plaxton Prison and body. Yes, she's a low-floor double-decker. Just sturdy old girl. But I'm pretty sure I can take her down. OK, here we go. Ow! That's going to smart for quite a while, I can tell you. Ooh, it's throbbing. But I suppose it's only to be expected when you're bare-knuckle fighting with a bus. This is going to make playing a guitar really painful. Which is tricky, because I'm recording an album tomorrow afternoon. Luckily, Robert Fripp does all the hard bits. Main thing is, I landed the first blow, didn't I? So, that's one point to me, right? Now, I'll get looking for some more worthy opponents. But meanwhile, it's back to Kevin in the studio.
David Bowie, circa 1973 there, down south. And now, in the name of balance, let's go up north. Now then, my name is Stanley Jothorpe and I'm a fictional man for the north of England. Fictional, mind, fictional. Anyway, to the day I imagine my disgust when I sat down at table to discover that my tea weren't ready. For although I am a fictional man for the north of England, I am a traditional fictional man for the north of England. I race pigeons, I never win, but it's taking part that counts. I go without mine 10 hours every day. It's been closed for years, but old habits, I keep whippets in the freezer. That way they don't go off so quick. So when I, a fictional traditional northern man, sat down to tea table, cock on mantel piece, striking six, only to be confronted with nought but a bare cloth, which were filthy, incidentally. A very ancient fury was ignited. Wife! I shouted. Wife! 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 I continued for some minutes. Wife! I was about to take my temper out on my pipe rack, and not for first time either. Wife! When suddenly I heard front door open. Oh, at last, a bloody last. How kind of you to make an appearance, lady! I raged sarcastically. And what time do you call this? Time you found a wife, said old Tom from next door. Every bloody night this happens, you shouting wife, and me and the missus is sick of it. And if you don't stop it, we'll report you to council, and then you get what for? Well, truth is, I couldn't very well say much to that, because I'd ruptured me larynx. Shouting, wife! 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 Wife!
Hey, you know, I did try and come up with some jingles for this show. Now, you'd think it was easy, but it's not. I'll play you a few I tried recording. There was this one.
This is the Kevin Eldon Show with laughs for all the folks, with sketches, songs and characters and lots of rotten jokes.
But, I don't know, it just seemed a bit too comedy. I tried this one.
You are listening to Radio 4 and this is Kevin Eldon's comedy show on Radio 4 and that's what you're listening to.
But, I don't know, it just seemed a bit too late night. And I tried this one.
Radio 4, the 11 o'clock comedy slot with Kevin Eldon.
But, I don't know, it just seemed a bit too shit. I found a couple of interesting items, though, while I was researching jingles. This is from a Russian radio programme called the Svetio Maborovich Show.
Svetio Maborovich! Svetio Maborovich! Svetio Maborovich!
With a listenership of 20 million, every week presenter Svetio Maborovich goes to a different forest clearing somewhere in Russia, strips to his pants, douses himself with vodka, sets fire to himself, and then wrestles a bear whose feet have been nailed to a skateboard. Apparently they tried to transfer the programme to television, but it never really worked because in Vision, everyone agreed that it just seemed to lose a lot of its nuance. I also found this from a Japanese radio programme.
Oh, Dorito! Oh, Dorito!
Odorita, meaning are you surprised, consists of host Tayamari Koto disguising his voice as he telephones members of the public to tell them that something truly horrific has happened. In this clip, you can hear the host telling a company manager that his secretary has sent an inappropriate kind of fruit as a gift to a business acquaintance, thus breaching rigid Nipponese social convention and dooming his family and his company's name to unspeakable shame for generations to come. But then he tells them that in fact he's lying. And they both have a really good laugh. Oh, those Japaneses. Anyway, in the end, I thought, no, I won't have jingles for the show. It's not really Radio 4 anyway, is it? But there now follows the bit of the show where a jingle would have gone if I'd had one. So, hey, moving on from all this talk of Russia and Japan, we're going to keep it international, and why not? Because my next guest is all the way from South America, Jimmy. And it is Mexican bandit Pancho El Grasa de Polo Jojito. Pancho, welcome.
Hello, welcome,
Yes, thanks for coming in.
I'll kill you for that.
And I have to say, this is the first time I've ever met a real Mexican bandit.
You want some tequila, eh?
No, thanks.
Huh? Then I drink your share.
Okay, well, I'm glad you've come in anyway. So, I was going to ask you...
You know, Gringo, I wasn't always a Mexican bandit.
You weren't always a Mexican bandit?
No, 5 years ago, I was a German.
You were a German?
See, I was kitchen salesman in Dusseldorf.
Blimey.
Yeah, my name was Dieter Bund.
Well, that's quite a career change.
Yeah, selling kitchens in Dusseldorf was most unsatisfactory.
But, as a Mexican bandit, you get to rob stagecoaches, steal cattle, cause landslides with dynamite, hold the rich, beautiful ladies to ransom, and eat greasy chicken with both hands, letting the grease get all around your chin, without being expected to wipe it off with a napkin.
Oh, and you've done all that? Sorry?
Only the greasy chicken thing so far.
Right. Hence, I suppose, your name Pancho El Grasa de Polo Jojito, Grasa de Polo being Spanish for chicken grease or grease of the chicken.
See, wish you remind me. There is greasy chicken on the menu in Broadcasting House Cantina.
Well, there isn't a canteen as such, actually.
It's not canteen?
No, there's a sort of snack bar place. You could get a chicken sandwich, I suppose.
You are loco, gringo? Me? Pancho El Grasa de Polo Jojito eating a chicken sandwich?
Well, then there are a number of moderately priced restaurants in the local area. You could probably get one of them to cook your chicken.
A greasy one?
They'll probably do you a greasy one if you ask. Thank you. Can you not, with the guns and the shouting, got a bit of a headache.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I go get greasy chicken now.
Okay, right. Yeah.
You want some?
No, I'm fine, thanks. Pancho, el grasso de polo, cojito there. So... Pancho!
Okay.
Not so loud.
Okay. Si. Arriba.
I'm international tennis champion Durham Quirt, and this is my revolutionary new all-purpose digital watch tennis racket. It's a watch and a tennis racket, and it's digital. But that's not all. The Durham Quirt all-purpose digital racket tennis watch also performs 93 subsidiary tasks. The Durham Quirt all-purpose watch racket tennis digital will also...
Soda magnesium. Photosynthesize. Make things less orange. Bewilder clergy. Disentangle kelp. Compose epigrams that are anagrams of themselves. Check fur for parasites. Perform rectal surgery and much, much more.
The Durham Quirt all-purpose Rennis-Tagged digital clinch. You can't afford to live without it. Gee, is that the time already? I've got 1,001 things to do. And with the Durham Quirt all-purpose Wenosol Ticket Biggity Boo, I can do 95 of them. And that's the way I like it.
Well, now it's time to take a phone call from Patricia.
Yes, hello. I'd like to begin by saying that although this is a live telephone call, I myself am pre-recorded.
Okay. So where are you calling from, Patricia?
Just crush some chickpeas and mix in a handful of destoned olives.
Okay. And when
well,
did
it's a
you...
collective noun, isn't it?
Actually, Patricia, I'm not sure this is going to actually...
No, I'll pick it back.
What?
Bye!
We interrupt this broadcast to take you back to Stockwell Bus Depot to see how David Bowie, circa 1973, is getting on with his bare-knuckle bus fighting. Hello, David Bowie, circa 1973?
Now, let's see. Oh, yes! Perfect! This is my old arch-enemy, the Hofmeister City Ranger. A single-decker with a double dose of attitude. This will be no walkover. So, I'm going to try the old Aladdin-sane feint. That is where I make to kick it in the radiator grill, but at the last moment, headbutt it right in the windscreen. Ow! Ow! There's no rules in bus fighting. And that Glasgow kiss made it 2-0 to me. But I think I broke my nose. Ooh, I'm going to have to get Angie to defrost the steak, because in the morning I reckon I'm going to have a right couple of shiners. Just my luck, because I've got an album cover shoot at 10:30. I'll probably have to redraw the old Ziggy Flash so it covers both eyes.
Hello? Anyone there?
Uh-oh, look out. It's security. I'll just hide behind this Leyland articulated DAB and wait for him to go back into his office. Talk to you in a bit.
Okay, David Bowie, circa 1973. You just be careful in there, okay? Whew, well, that's turning out to be a bit more exciting than I thought it would, actually. Okay, so, fire alarms. I don't know about you, but I love fire alarms. I mean, I really love them. And actually, BBC Radio has a tradition of exciting, top-quality fire alarms throughout its long history. Let's just have a listen to the present fire alarm used by BBC Radio since 1992. We've got a recording here. Great. You can imagine that really inspiring you to leave a burning building, can't you? Let's have a listen to the BBC Radio fire alarm before that present one. Duh. It's just got a very urgent simplicity, hasn't it? What about the one before that? Here you go. Classic. You can almost smell the burning Bakelite. But that wasn't actually the first ever BBC Radio fire alarm. Listen to this. There you go, an archive recording of BBC Radio's very first fire alarm, which was actually just Lord Reith's butler standing on the roof shouting fire. Right now, is Jasmine Hines. She's a fire alarm enthusiast. She's written 3 books on fire alarms. Sorry, 8. She designs fire alarms and she owns the largest collection of fire alarms outside of Iraq. Yes. And she's here tonight to tell us all about a new competition. Mm. Jasmine.
That's right. As you see, last autumn, the BBC Online forum put out a challenge for listeners to design a new BBC Radio fire alarm.
Yes, so anybody who clicks onto the forum can listen to the entries and vote for their favourite. But Later, here on this show, we shall be having an exclusive sneak preview of a few of the submissions that Jenny has picked as being possible contenders.
Jasmine. I'm really looking forward to it.
So am I. I love firearms.
So do I.
But meanwhile, right now, I want to talk about shrubbery. Now, shrubbery is something that's loomed large, quite literally, in my life.
And next week on The Slippers and Pipe are the last in our 20-part series on osmium and its use in electron microscopy. And now on the British Empire Light Home Service programme, 17 to 54 kilocycles and falling, further thrilling adventures with Space Commander Topper Hargreaves and his faithful dog Duke in Diary of a Spaceman.
Space date, May the 22nd, 1996. I suppose in space, apart from being fried alive by deadly gamma rays or being smashed to atoms by a passing chunk of rock, the main cause for concern is boredom. After all, there are only so many times one can linseed oil one's bat, and a game of chess against the ship's neutron reckoner isn't exactly fair play when it can make over 100 calculations in a single hour. So, when an interesting-looking planet hove into view, I immediately hailed it on the radio phone. Hello? Hello? This is Space Commander Douglas Topper Hargreaves of His Majesty's spaceship, the Churchill. Are you receiving me? Quiet as the grave. Looks like there's nothing doing on this planet, Duke. I said it looks like that... Good Lord! Listen, Duke. I think there's something coming through.
Hello?
Hello! How do you do? To whom do I have the pleasure of talking?
My name is Valentina. I am the leader of what is left of our race.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance, miss, I'm sure.
Your voice, it is deep.
Do you think? I've always been classed as a light tenor.
It is as in the prophecies.
The prophecies?
Several moons ago, half of our race, the hairy ones, strong of body and keen of mind, were wiped out by a disease. Now there are only us, the smooth, pretty ones. Although we are very smooth and very pretty, alas, we are physically weak and intellectually feeble. The prophecies tell of a low-toned one who will come from the stars and will help us in times of great strife. You must be he.
Me? But how could I help you?
You will be required to gather with 500 of our smoothest and prettiest smooth pretty ones, and then you will... Each one, 4 or 5 times a day, and then each of them... And then they would undress you before you... ...with them.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Certainly. You would be required to gather...
Hello? Blast! Well, there's nothing else for it. Looks like we shall just have to go down there and find out exactly what it is they want of me. Prepare for landing, Duke. I said prepare for... Wait a minute. Here's a readout from the neutron reckoner. Gosh, it's a reminder that it's time for me to prepare the ship's accounts for this quarter. Better crack on with it right away. Now I suppose I shall never know what that charming lady wanted me to do. Ah, well, the pie you don't buy is a penny in the piggy bank. Now, where's that space ledger?
From behind this time,
after the... They produce beautiful flowers, but will need little or no attention apart from the occasional pruning in the summer months. But hey, I think we better see how David Bowie, circa 1973, is doing down at Stockwell Bus Depot. Hello? Ground control to Major Tom.
This is no time for jokes, Kevin.
Wait, is that you again, Bowie, you little freak?
The security guy's back and he's rumbled me.
Oh, look, run for it, David Bowie, circa 1973. Get out of there!
No way. David Bowie, circa 1973, doesn't run away. I'm going to mollify him with a song that I'm going to make up on the spot.
Right! Got you, Bowie. You don't get away this time.
Shush, my little friends. Just listen to this.
Mr. Security Man, leave me alone. I'm just fighting buses, don't know what the fuss is. Leave me alone. Hey, Mr. Security Man, put down your phone. Please don't call the pigs, I'll buy you some cigs. Leave me alone. Your nights pass so slowly, it's a long time till dawn. Your only companions, chocolate biscuits and porn. And I feel your pain, the pain in your brain. Let me say it again, I feel your pain, Mr. Security Man.
Oh, that was very moving.
I'm glad you thought so.
And did you mean what you're saying there?
About feeling your pain? Yes, of course.
No, not that. The bit about buying me some cigs.
Buying you... Oh, yeah. No, of course I did.
Only I've run out and I'm not allowed to leave the depot during my shift.
No problem. I'll just nip down to the all-night garage and get you, let me guess, 20 Mayfair.
Yeah, how did you...
It's my job to know what oily rag security men smoke, my friend. I'll go right now.
Oh, right. And you won't just run off, will you?
Of course I won't. I'll be right back.
Oh, thanks. You're a gentleman.
I'm now making my way to the back door. Not far to go. Here we are. Oh, and one last thing, Mr. Security Man.
What's that?
I lied about the cigs.
You what? Come back here.
So long, sucker. Mission accomplished. Back to you in the studio, Kev.
Wow, good work. Oh, that David Bowie circa 1973. He really is quite wily, isn't he? Okay, now, I still have Jasmine Hines, fire alarm enthusiast, with me here. And she likes fire alarms nearly as much as I do.
Oh, more, much more.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, more. I like fire alarms more than you do, more than anyone who's ever lived or whoever will live.
Okay. So now it's time to have an exclusive listen to just a few of the entries in the competition to write a new fire alarm for BBC Radio. And Jasmine, you've chosen these, so take us through them.
OK, well, this first one I've chosen for its sheer simplicity. It was designed by Chris Mealy from Oxford and it's based on the concept of the Radio Pips.
Fire! 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 Fire!
Oh, that is a very simple concept, isn't it?
Very simple.
It's very simple, isn't it? Okay, let's have another.
This next one was created by Anne Whitmore in Godalming, and I liked it because it reflects a more traditional high-concept facet of the BBC.
Conflagration. Inferno. Flames. Combustion. Oxidation.
Right, so that's Stephen Fry listing a number of synonyms for fire over an excerpt from the Fire Dance from Manuel de Falla's ballet El Amor Brujo.
It's very stylish, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, it must have cost a fortune to hire Stephen Fry.
No, not at all. I believe HIV/AIDS research and fire alarms are two causes very dear to his heart, so I'm sure he would have waived his fee.
OK, let's have your third choice.
OK, Quentin James from London wrote this. He writes light operas, and I think this one's got a lot of panache.
Let's listen.
There's an unofficial fire burning in the BBC. The fire brigade are going to be as quick as they can be. Exit from the building, no panic, rush or fear, and assemble in the cover till you're given the all clear.
Very catchy, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I'll be humming that one all week. OK, how about another one?
Yes, this is by Ben Solomon of Bath.
This is BBC Radio, incorporating Radio 1, Radio 1 Extra, Radio 2, Radio 3, Radio 4, Radio 4 Extra, Radio 5 Live, Radio 5 Live Sports Extra, Radio 6 Music, Radio Wales, Radio Scotland, Radio Ulster, Radio Foyle, The Asian Network, The World Service, and over 40 local BBC radio stations nationwide, available online, on digital and FM. There is a fire.
Very good, very good.
Isn't it?
Very good. OK, well, look, thanks, Jasmine. It's been really interesting to listen to your selections. Now, do you think you could indulge me just a little bit? Because I have come up with a fire alarm myself.
Really?
Yes, I wrote it myself. Do you want to hear it?
I've
recorded
love
it.
To.
OK, well, I'm a bit nervous. OK, well, here goes.
Wow.
Do you like it?
Amazing.
Oh, thanks.
Totally, 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 totally amazing.
Thanks.
Okay. An estate agent sketch now.
So good.
Yeah. No, 299,950. That is their best final offer. And remember, they're not in a chain. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Great. Speak soon.
So, what did he say?
He's going to think about it and call back.
Right. Well, I mean, is there anything we can do in the meantime?
You could try praying to Anubis.
What, the almighty jackal-headed god of the Egyptian underworld?
Yeah.
I don't know. The thing is, neither of us is religious.
Yeah, or Egyptian.
Hang on, didn't Paul and Jenny use Anubis?
No, it's Foxton's, wasn't it?
I've seen some quite good results with Anubis.
What do you think?
Well, I suppose it's better than just sitting around waiting.
Yeah, OK. Might as well give it a go.
Definitely worth a try. OK, one sec. Ooh. Well, Lee! You got the ritual trappings for Anubis?
Anubis,
Egyptian god of the dead.
You had them last, I think. But 36 Hawthorne Crescent.
Got them. Right, now, Dan, hold this sacred flail in your right hand. Mm-hmm. Sally, this enchanted ostrich feather is placed between your breasts. I'll let you do that. And if you can allelate the sacred words, An Kanabaha Kana, I'll just smear my face with the blood of a cobra there. And I'll count us in. 3, 4.
Han Kanabaha Kana.
Anubis, god of death, jackal ruler of the shadow world, hear my plea. Hold on. Hello? Oh, that's great news. Yeah, fantastic. I'll tell him right now. Bye.
Has he accepted?
Indeed he has.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I didn't even have to cut your hearts out.
Stop the laughter. I have an important announcement. This is actually the very last few seconds of the very last episode in this series. Oh, what a roller coaster it's been. A long journey full of joy and occasionally tinged with just a little sadness. And you know, now, more than any other time, is the time to make a moving valedictory speech. But I can't be bothered.
Yeah, that'll work. Oh, there he goes. Kevin Eldon Will See You Now was written by Kevin Eldon with additional material by Joel Morris and Jason Hazley. The producer was David Tyler. The program is a positive production for BBC Radio 4.